if they're to praise him on high-sounding cymbals and on the 10-stringed instruments, I say, praise him. Can anyone shout amen?
Amen.
Brother Jonathan asked me if I was in my office and if I was trying to put the finishing touches on it. I told him, I said, I don't know if I can get anything out of these scribbles or not. But here we go. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And that ought to make our hearts thrill. He's there right now. On the right hand of God, our Savior. And they, the disciples, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
Did you read my text with me? It is in this that we find someone behind the scenes doing all the work. Jesus, we were told prior to this, when he said, come to me if you thirst, because the priest was pouring water out. He said this was a symbolization of the Holy Ghost, but it was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Am I right? So here my writer is just saying to you, he is glorified. He was received up, not jerked up, not taken up. He was received up. The psalmist would say, lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, and be ye lifted up, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? They will shout back from the balusters of heaven. They will get the response. He is the Lord. He is mighty in battle. He comes scarred back to the pavilion that he left perfect. He comes back now a scarred king, but a king nevertheless. He has fought with death and conquered. He has fought with disease and conquered. He has fought with the devil and conquered. He has the keys, scarred though he may be. He has the keys of death. He is the victor. He has the keys of hell. He is the victor. He has the keys. And he is the victor. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, and be lifted up, and the King of Glory shall come in. Well, he did come in. And when he came in, he didn't have to stop until he sat down. Heaven received him. He was received up into heaven. And when received there, he sat at the right hand of God. No wonder he could say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How many believe he still holds all power? How many believe tonight that nothing can withstand his word? That if he speaks, it will happen. Am I right? Oh, glory be to God. So we see in my text here, verse 19, he was received up into heaven and set down on the right hand of God. He sits there tonight with all power in his hand.
Yes, he
does. He's the Lord of all. Now, who was this great helper that got him to the right hand of God? This great helper, the comforter, the paracletes, the one called alongside to help. The Bible will call him the eternal spirit and will say who through the eternal spirit offered himself to God. Through the eternal spirit, Holy Ghost, he offered himself to God and God set him at his own right hand. Far above principalities and powers, might and dominion. He is the true overcomer. Not only that, not only through the eternal spirit, but the Bible said, if the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Who is this great helper who behind the scenes exalts our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You see, it's right here, and we must understand that. We must come, if we want a revival, we must have it, because the great helper will give us one.
Right.
He is the quickener of all mortal bodies. Amen. He is the one who made Jesus sit on that throne and will keep him there at the right hand of God until he finishes the work that he started. He will bring forth a glorified church, and at the same time, he will establish that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All this will be to the glory of God the Father. Amen. But Jesus will continue to be exalted. We need to learn more about that exaltation. So the church now is the workplace of the Spirit. He comes here to produce Christians. And believe it or not, will you believe it or not, none of his that he has ever created ever turned out to be a hypocrite. Oh, yeah. Interested in that kind of help? Well, it's available to all of us. You see, the scripture, my text, goes above and it says that signs shall follow them that believe. Who is that person on earth that can go with believers and make signs to follow? Jesus is at the right hand of God. Therefore, God is on his throne. His son sits there as the mediator, the great high priest of our profession. That only leaves one left. Can you tell me the name of the one that's left? It's Father. I know some folks just get turned sideways. When you tell them you believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they say you're three God, you're Catholic all the way, you're just plumb out of it. But I found it in the Bible that Jesus said, go into all the world teaching them and baptizing them. And if he made a mistake in Matthew 28, he made a mistake in the book of Acts 2.
Right.
I know where the Father is.
Right.
He's never left this throne.
No,
I know where the Son is. He came from there.
Amen.
And went back there.
Amen.
He came from the presence of the Father and he went back to the presence of the Father. And you'll find Stephen there in the book of Acts verifying it, because he said, I see Jesus, and rocks crushing his ribs and breaking his bones, and he said, I see Jesus.
Yeah.
And that only made him worse. I see Jesus standing. He is sitting until one of his martyrs dies, and then he stands. So we are looking at these signs shall follow them that believe. Who is that person behind the curtains that is making all of this happen? I believe it is no less than the person of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Anybody believe the Holy Ghost is active?
Yeah.
I mean, you believe the Holy Ghost is everywhere?
Right. Right.
The Holy Ghost can go with you and go with me and still be the Holy Ghost. He can go to your house, my house, church house, still be the Holy Ghost. Go with you to work. Stay with me at home. Still be the Holy Ghost. You believe then that he is like God. He is omnipresent. You don't question that. That he's everywhere. That he can understand Chinese. And Russian. And European. And all the dialects of the earth. You believe he can do that? That he can talk to everybody, and everybody can understand him. Isn't that something that he's not only omnipresent, but he's omnificent?
Yes, he is.
That he knows everything. He knows the tongue that you were born with. Am I right? He can speak perfect English. Or as Corey said the other night, he can speak English that was bred in Harlan. He understands it. Am I right? Therefore, you don't have to be educated for him to fall in love with you. You don't have to be mighty in order for him to fall in love with you. You don't have to hold a degree for him to fall in love with you and never want to leave you. Am I right? He's not only omnipresent and omnificent, he's almighty.
Yes, he is.
Don't back off now. You're just going to make my job harder. But I'm ready to prove it. He is almighty.
Yes, he is.
Anything God can do, Holy Ghost can do. God is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. Am I right? God is everywhere. The Holy Ghost is everywhere.
Yes, he is.
God knows everything. The Holy Ghost knows everything.
Right.
He is co-equal with God. Co-eternal with God.
Amen.
He will always be God.
Amen.
Can be nothing less than God. He's not a spook. He's not a spurt. And he's not a ghost.
Amen.
He's a person.
Right. Yes, he is.
Thinking person.
Right.
Feeling person.
Right.
Helping person. He is the Holy Ghost.
Yes, he is.
That's his name, one of the many.
Yes, sir.
But you see, his name that Jesus gave him was the Comforter.
Right.
I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter. Am I right? Paracletos. One. Just like me. That's called alongside you to help you. Do you feel like Jesus loves you? The Holy Ghost loves you with the same kind of love. Do you feel like Jesus can answer your prayer? The Holy Ghost can do it just like Jesus. In fact, there's something about him that he won't do it till you believe in Jesus Christ. Though he could do it, he won't do it till you believe in Jesus Christ, that all power is given in his hands, that he can only do what glorifies Jesus Christ. By now you ought to have songbooks going up and down in the air, catching them, hollering, woo, hallelujah. This is what it says here. It's one called alongside to help. The Holy Ghost is behind the scenes working. You never see him. You see the wind blow. And you know the wind's blowing. You either feel it on your face, on your back, but you feel it. Then if you're outside, you can see it. It'll bend a tree. It'll lay the grass over. It'll ruffle the leaves. You'll know the wind's blowing. Am I right? Like the boy who had the string in his hand and the guy come by and looked up there and couldn't see his kite. He had so much string out. His kite had disappeared. And that guy said, "How do you know your kite's still up there?" He said, "I can feel the tug." I may not be able to tell you everything I need to know about the Holy Ghost, but I can still feel the tug. I know He's here. I know the wind's blowing. I feel the tug. That's where our scripture is tonight. It's telling us about Him who will do a specific work. We have yet to learn Him. We have yet to see Him. We have yet to be mystified by Him. All we know of Him in 2016 is He can make you jump up and down. He can run you around. He can make you go across the back of the seats. That's usually the depths of our knowledge of the Holy Ghost. He can make you talk in tongues. But He's more than that. There's a lot of things He can do. How many know there's a lot of things He can do? He can turn your world upside down. Or He can set your world upright. He has that kind of power. He can open a door and no man can shut it. Or He can shut that door and no man can open it. Can He do it? I'm talking about your helper. I'm talking about the one that heaven sent to you. I'm talking about the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm talking about the one that can bring you up when you think you can't get up. How many's had Him to do it? You see, the Holy Ghost is the worker of all the gifts of the Spirit. All of them. Most men claim to fame as one of them. You're a healer. You have the gift of healing. You have the gift of miracles. You have the gift of wisdom. You have the gift of the word of knowledge. You have faith. All the same person. He can do it as severally as He will. If God had enough power to make a donkey talk English or Hebrew or America, whatever it was, if He can cause a donkey to have a tongue that is educated enough to speak to a dumb prophet, He can do anything He wants. If He can make an iron axe head swim, He can do anything He wants. Am I right? I said, am I right? If He can cause Peter to walk on the water to Jesus, and He would have never dropped him until Peter doubted. But Jesus will say, "Why'd you doubt? Why'd you let that fear come in? You were in good hands. Did it not hold you up when you put your foot down on the water? Did you sink then? Did you sink on the other step and the foot come down? Did you step on the third one?"
Come on, Brother Vinny.
When we doubt, we take things out of His hands. But to him that believeth, all things are possible. I can't do the all things, and I can't make things possible. But I got somebody inside of me that can. John would say, "Greater is He, greater is He." Not greater is them, greater is He. Greater is He, singular. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, I'm a feeling like preaching. I'm preaching to you about somebody who is still in this church. Somebody who still works in this church. Somebody that can take your hardest impossibility and make it possible. You see, Not only that, but he produces all the fruit of the Spirit. Every last one of them.
Amen.
He is the husbandman of that orchard.
He
gives all the glory to the finished work of Jesus Christ. But he comes into you to fill you full of sap.
Right.
How many of you know what sap does to a tree?
Yeah.
Anybody know what sap does to a tree? Well, go outside and look now at a tree and you'll find out what sap does not do. Because
right.
The sap now is below the ground.
Yeah.
But spring's coming. That's called revival.
Right. Yeah.
When revival comes, the sap starts coming up. And when the sap comes up, green leaves come out. And then all of a sudden there's blossoms and there's fruit. Because the sap's up. Can anybody shout amen?
Amen.
I want a revival where the sap gets up. I'm tired of being a dead tree in an orchard. I want to feel some life in me. I want to see some production change. I want to go from 30-fold to 60-fold. And then from 60-fold to 100-fold. For that's what he wants me to really get to. 30-fold is to show me he can. 60-fold is when I want it to happen. 100-fold is when he makes it happen. We need a revival where every one of us hangs our limbs over the wall so folks can eat our fruit. And come in and say, oh, I tasted and I seen that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Isn't the Lord good?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not helping me tonight. You see, he is not only that, he's the source of the fountain and he's the power of the river. Now again, it speaks of you. And it speaks that it would be in you as a fountain springing up into eternal life. It shall come out of your innermost beings like a river. Ah, glory be to God. I'd love for that to happen. Wouldn't you love for that to happen? I was raised in the country. I know when the drought comes, everything gets low. When the spring rains comes, everything gets high. I've seen it when it got in flood stage. And we could mark it off after the flood recited. For it picked trash up and hung trash up. And when you saw the trash hung up in the trees, you said, woo, it got high. And that's the same way it is with the church. When he gets finally under the church and begins to lift it up, the thing that he will leave behind is trash. He doesn't want to abide in a trashy house. He doesn't want to abide in a trashy fountain. He doesn't want to abide in a trashy river. So he gets up and he washes you until the trash floats away. Wouldn't we love to have a revival where you could get rid of the trash in your life? Get rid of the trashy talk? Some of you never say a nasty word, but you get as so close to it, you get as close to it as you can. And that's, my friend, is leaning towards carnality. If you really want a revival, you really want some God-sent, genuine help, then you'll get under the spout where the glory comes out, and the first thing you'll notice, it'll change you from trashy to purity. You put them up. Not only will you put them up, you'll get them out of your house. Anything's trashy, you don't want it around. Oh, you're not helping me preach. You see, I'm talking about what the Holy Ghost will do. He is the power behind the river. He's the power and the purity behind the fountain. If there is anything pure coming out of you, it's because he is behind the flow of it.
Right. Yes,
If there's anything trashy coming out of you, it's because you're carnal and you're second cousin to a devil. I don't mean just trashy talk like bad words. It's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You know what it means to take it in vain? It means to use it in any way that doesn't bring Him glory. Lordy, Lordy. Who is that you're talking to that you would be so flippant as say, Lordy, Lordy. Who is he? And he's so debased by the human tongue as somebody who knows who he is and will use his name flippantly as a byword. Gosh. You say that word? You need to go back and find out where that word come from. That's a derivative of the word God. Our English slaughters the language. That's why we need a guard at our lips, that we sin not against Him. That's why the Holy Ghost, if given the job, can keep your mind clean and can keep your heart clean and can keep your mouth clean. Well, you're not helping me preach. You see, John, 1 John 2:20 says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Somebody said, I don't know everything. He does.
Yes, he does.
You want to split hairs, he can do it. You want to get right doctrinally, let him teach you. Want to memorize a verse? Let him teach you. He can bring anything back to your remembrance. Am I right? I sound like I'm preaching a type of Christianity that we no longer want. We no longer want this kind of help because he gets in our life and he gets personal. You won't be able to sit there and watch television with him in your heart. You won't go to the movies with him in your heart. You won't go to the ball game with him in your heart. You won't be gambling with him in your heart. Go ahead and say amen. I'll shout it out. Amen. We're talking about somebody from heaven. We're talking about somebody who the Father sent to us from heaven. When I get there, Jesus said, when I get to the right hand of God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Father that He give you another comforter. He came from heaven. He is an extension of the power of God. He's sent here to gather up a bride for His Son. This unction is an ointment. Comes from that holy oil that's blended with pure spices until God said, don't you be making none of that for your flesh. Don't be putting none of that on your flesh. He said, it will be a perfume. It will be from the apothecary. It will be wonderfully smelly aroma. You'll want some. But don't you be putting that on your flesh. This is holy anointing oil. Am I right?
Amen.
Spicy, sweet spices and frankincense. It was all ground up. And apothecary had a little old paddle. He'd put the stuff in a little old bowl and he'd take that apothecary thing and he would just crush it up and crush it up and crush it up and get it fine. But if he was to take a handful of it, he could throw it at you. Some of it might land on you and might not. He knew it had to be held together. There had to be something that held all of these sweet things together. Something that could make it stick to you. Just a type in the shadow of the Holy Ghost Here's the Father grinding it up.
Right.
The Son is pouring the ingredients in. The Father's grinding it up. He said, now we got to get this from heaven to earth. And to get it from heaven to earth, we got to have something that will hold it together.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
133 Psalm says in the second verse, it's like the oil that came upon Aaron's head and
right.
run down to his beard and on down to the hem of his garment. Am I right? He put the Holy Ghost right in the mix of a pure, holy life. And if you've got a pure, holy life, it will be sweet smelling. Good Holy Ghost filled saints don't raise stinks. Well, that's good preaching, even if I am doing it. And doing it by myself, mostly. Good Holy Ghost filled saints don't raise stinks. Stinks are of the devil. When Aaron got anointed, you could smell him everywhere. He smelled just like the holy anointing that was on him. Everywhere he walked, the downdraft filled the whole place with an aroma that God loved to smell. When he walked into the presence of God, it was a sweet savor that went up from him. Because he was anointed. He had unctioned. He had been unctionized by the Holy One. He had been chosen. And he had been anointed. Blood had been put on his tip of his ear. Blood had been put on his tip of his thumb. And blood had been put on the tip of his toe. And then after the blood had been applied, here he came with the oil. And the oil was put on the tip of his ear. And the oil was put on the tip of his thumb. And the oil was to be put on the tip of his toe. And he was then consecrated to God so he could go in before God. Why the ear? Because we've got to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Why the toe, the thumb? Is because we need him in order to do any work that will glorify Jesus Christ. Why the big toe? We need it to keep our life balanced. And then we need it to keep our walk sanctified. For if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, that's good preaching. In John 15 and 26, Jesus says of this Holy Ghost, this Comforter, he shall testify of me. He shall testify of me. Do you have a Holy Ghost church? You know how you can tell a Holy Ghost church? Everybody's going to be talking about Jesus. Everybody wants to testify about Jesus. You ought to be in there when the Lord saved me. He shall testify of me. I don't know where those preachers at. It's always my ministry. I can do this. I've done that. You ought to have seen me. You ought to, oh, no. Wait a minute. Where'd the Comforter go? If the Comforter was in you, if you was full of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be so in love with yourself. You would say, if it hadn't been for the Lord on my side. Oh, I'm beginning to feel like preaching. If it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. You ought to have seen me before he got me. I wasn't worth talking about, but what you see now is the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me. The power of the Almighty overshadowed me. He testifies about Jesus. And not only that, but it says there, he shall glorify me. Talking about Jesus. What the Holy Ghost does. He shall glorify me. Now the next time you open your mouth and you're going to say something, you ought to say, Holy Ghost, will you please engage my brain so that my tongue will know what I need to be talking about? Because I'm in the house of the Lord and I don't need to be talking about me. I need to be glorifying him. whether it's in song, help me to glorify Him. If it's in a text, help me to bring that text around to where it glorifies Him. If I'm going to sing in the choir, let me sing till the glory falls. Am I right? If I'm going to get up and I'm going to raise both hands, help me to do it to the glory of God. If I'm going to walk the aisles, help me to walk them in the name of Jesus so I can bring glory to His great name. Oh, hallelujah. Not only will He testify of me, not only shall He glorify me, but He will show you things to come. Things to come. Now that's where we are in the arrears. I think we have a church that would love to glorify Jesus. I think we have singers that intend to glorify Jesus. I think if we have an opportunity, we'll testify to the glory of Jesus. But what about this work that He does? He's going to show us things to come. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 28, a great dearth came. Because Agabus, the prophet, prophesied that there was going to be one. Sure enough, there was one. And they took up offerings and took them to the poor in Judea and Jerusalem. Then you get over to Acts chapter 21, 10 through 13. And the same Agabus shows up and he grabs a girdle off of the wall. And he ties his hand and his feet. And he says, the man who owns this girdle, if he goes to Jerusalem, shall be bound. When did the Holy Ghost ever quit that part of His job? You know why He doesn't tell us anything? Because we really don't want to know. We like living like we're living. We really would have to change our ways if we see what was coming. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15 says, but what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. There is a way, my friend, there is a way that we can come into the realm of being able to hear what's going on in heaven. It's not without the help of the Spirit. Now, if you just want to stay and talk in an unknown tongue, you'll never know unless that tongue is interpreted. But if you want to get with the Spirit, then you can pray with the Spirit and pray with understanding. And you can sing with the Spirit and sing with understanding. Listen to how it will work out. In verse 24, it said, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one that unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Verse 25 will say, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. That's old time conviction at its best. But it happens working with the Holy Ghost. Prophecy. I'll never forget, my wife and I were privileged to pastor Freddie Pierce. Freddie was from Kentucky, down around Elizabethtown, a little bit further down there. He was from Kentucky, and Freddie had an experience that he let slip, and he was under conviction looking for a church. And the first thing that he done when he came was he smelled. He'd come in the vestibule and he'd smell. If he could smell coffee, wrong church. If he could smell tobacco, wrong church. Freddie put the church to a smelling test. So he came to Hilltop one night And he came in the back and he sat down. We had passed the smelling test. But that's all that we had passed. And before the service was over, the Holy Ghost took over. A message came out in tongues, which Freddie didn't understand. But when the interpretation came, it read his pedigree. It told his story. No one had to go back and get Freddie. Freddie got up. Here he came down the aisles crying. He fell in the altar. He prayed through. He went home and got his wife and said, I found it. I found it. And the reason he could say he found it is because the Lord told him his heart. He never said a word in that church. The Holy Ghost told it all on him. And he was convinced that God was in that place. Now that's the kind of Holy Ghost I would love to have at 3201 Dryden Road. That's the kind of power I'd like to see demonstrated at 3201 Dryden Road. We've had enough tongue talking. We've had enough of this and that. What we need is somebody who can come in and produce results. And I want to tell you, my friend, you can take every soul winning class there is. You can take every class on evangelism there is. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost working with you, you're not going to be a soul winner. But if we can turn, if we can turn as a church and say to him, O Comforter, will you come and do the work? Will you come among us and do the work? I've got some hard-headed children that are not going to serve you until you put your finger on their life. I've got some people that are so confused doctrinally, they'll never get straight until you put your finger on their problem. How many know the Holy Ghost can put his finger right on the problem? The Holy Ghost was like oil. The oil was the base for the holy anointing. It held everything together.
Right.
And that's the only way it works today. We can only stay sweet as long as he holds it together. That unction was not just poured on, it was rubbed in.
Right.
Yes, it don't run out as soon as church is over.
Come on.
You go home and have to re-preach sermons like I do. Yeah, I hate to re-preach sermons. I hate to re-preach sermons. I think of 50 things I left out and 50 things I should have left out, and I can't never get them back the way they're supposed to go. I hate to re-preach sermons. But if I can get just right, if I can get just right, if I can get him to rub it in before I get up, when I'm done, it'll still be right. Would you have an unction from the Holy One? There have been times when God's called me to say certain things. I knew I was going to say them. I knew I was going to say them. I knew I had to say them. It was a matter that I had to say them. It was God's unctioning. I had to say it. I was preaching at Broxton, Georgia. 900 and some people there. That's what the place seated was. 900 and some people. Folding chairs, mixed in with other chairs. I was preaching on the three crosses. And I was on the cross that rejected him. And I said, some of you hate Jesus as much as that man on that third cross did. If you were there that day, you would have hurled mud at him. You would literally have hated him. I got over again and the Holy Ghost bid me say it. And I said, some of you still hate him with the same intensity that if he was standing before you preaching tonight, you would try to kill him.
Come on.
Somebody screamed in the back. I mean, one of those bloodthirsty screams that you hear that you can't believe when you hear it.
Yeah.
And the wave came. here they come down the aisle, down both sides, weeping and crying and just wanting to repent. Here they came. And so when there was some people walking the backs of folding chairs to get to an altar. That's how intense the Holy Ghost was about bringing that truth to them. They felt it the first time in their life. They felt how they really felt. And it so shocked them that the whole came. We need Him to jerk the blanket off of the bush. We need Him to bring us an old-fashioned revival where we get right.
Yes, that's right. Yes. We can't change the community till we change ourselves.
Yes.
We can't get people to get better till we get better ourselves.
Right.
And you know and I know, we're not getting the job done. We need our old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival.
Yes.
We need to start right here.
Right.
I need to start right here.
Yes.
I need to be renewed. I need to be sanctified.
Yes.
I need to be regenerated.
Yes.
I need to be set on fire.
Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom,
right,
but in demonstration of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Ghost,
right,
and of power.
Right.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So I shout amen.
Amen.
In 1933, in a church in southern Indiana, the Holy Ghost spoke to a congregation like ours and said in succession, watch the King of the North. Watch Russia. Watch the King of the North. Watch Russia. Watch the King of the North. Watch Russia. I say, watch Russia. When's the last time you heard him say anything like that? One preacher said the Holy Ghost showed him that before the Lord would come, there would be cars that drove themselves. I knew in Popular Magazine there had been articles about the possibility of radar-driven cars. But do you know now,
there are cars on the highway driving the
ship. Right. Yes, there is.
Now, that was in 35, somewhere between 33 and 35, that the Holy Ghost said that before Jesus comes, one of the signs of it being close to His coming would be that there would be cars on American highways driving themselves. But there was telling that Ford Focus, was it Ford Focus? Ford Focus that has enough sensors now that, what year was it, Brother Gary?
That was last year.
Last year, that in 2015, last year, Ford Focus had enough sensors that it could drive itself. That you could tell it how far away from the car in front of you so it would stay, and it would not get any closer. It would stop before it. That is in your day.
Right.
When your children need revival.
All right.
Years ago, the Holy Ghost had already warned the church, when you see this, know I am at the door.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Wow.
immaculate domain. But if you read your Bible, the Holy Ghost don't have to speak to us. If you read your Bible, you will see that there's a woman on the beach.
Right.
Who's going to bring the beast
right
out of nowhere. And the woman on the beast is going to give the beast its power. And then those skin kings will turn and hate her. So first, there's going to have to be a big church influence. The Roman church has gained more influence than it's ever had in its life. In our day, we have cars driving down the road by themselves.
Right.
We have a pope going to a Pentecostal conference via satellite.
Wow.
And preaching to Pentecostal ministers. And at the end, we have a Pentecostal minister who calls all of his Pentecostal
underlings,
and they are going to pray and bless the Pope. And here you are. I heard it myself.
Right.
I am not joking. I heard it myself.
Right.
As they blessed the Holy Father, and they spoke in tongues and said, the Holy Ghost is blessing him.
Come on, Brother Billy.
Conversations in heaven about what the next move on earth is going to be. Why? 1964. The reason I remember is because that's the year I got saved. I got saved in a Pentecostal church.
I got saved in some Pentecostal way. It wasn't long until I was in right in the middle of these tongue talkers. I didn't have the Holy Ghost. Didn't know a whole lot about it. But boy, they ever talk in tongues. They talk in tongues and the Holy Ghost to interpret. Just make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. I remember the first time I heard him speak. You know what he said to me? To me, I was in the congregation. I know he said it to me because I was there. He said, behold, I stand at the door. I come quickly. It put a holy fear in me. I took up eschatology. I took it up like a medicine.
Yeah.
I took it up like a drug addict. You think a heroin freak gets high? You ought to have seen me when I first found my first book on eschatology. I had a fix, and it made me dizzy for weeks. I devoured it. I read it and reread it, and I checked it against the Bible. I reread it and reread it and checked it against the Bible. And I said, Lord, this has got to be truth. It's in your word. You see, most of my people were post. All right. That didn't believe in anything. They didn't believe in the millennium. Didn't believe in the rapture. The Lord was going to come and everything would burn up and that's it.
Yes,
so I couldn't find it in the Bible. I couldn't find the Bible. I said, Mom, where's it at in the Bible? She said, you just got saved. Well, you know, that's the way we've taught all our life. I said, you're right, I just got saved. But that don't make me dumb. Where's it at in the book? Where's it at in the book? It's not what Papa taught and Mama taught, what some preacher taught. Where's it at in the book?
started looking for it in the book. I found the Holy Ghost a willing teacher. I found Him a willing teacher. He took this book and started opening up to me, and I found it in the book. And I'm shouting happy tonight because I know it's in the book. The Lord's going to come. He's going to come for me, and then He's going to come with me. Hallelujah. It's in the book. Many times after that, I have had Him confirm His word with signs following. First church that I pastored, you could put it in this side. Probably two of them would fit in this church. One Sunday morning, I was up just having church. Holy Ghost spoke. Interpretation came. And this was it. Must I show your sin? I waited to see.
Yeah.
What's God going to do with that one? I'll tell you what happened. Guy got up that I didn't even know had sin in his life. Come weeping to the altar. Found out he had been smoking. And the Holy Ghost said, must I tell your sin? It's like the preacher who came to the pulpit one morning with a baseball. That's what goes on in the church in America. How we need the return of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, we do.
We need a real return of old time conviction to where you can't feel something when you're doing wrong.
Right.
Oh, I know I'm all right. I spoke in tongues. You can't not face it on that.
That's right.
If what you're doing is already condemned in the book, if you're speaking in tongues, you're doing it by someone called the devil. Because the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost will testify of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. I preached longer than I intended. And you didn't even help me. I've told you before, if you leave me by myself, it takes me longer. But I am not repentive of one thing that I said. If Dryden Road is going to make this next level, we have got to learn how to be dependent people. We've got to come back to Him and say, it started with you. It started with you. We can't make it any way close if we don't come back to the guy that started it. The Holy Ghost started it. He will maintain it. He will uphold it. He will empower it. He will sing it. He will preach it. He will dance it. He will shout it. Amen. He'll do it all. Amen. I told you so many times I get tired of telling the story, but I can't hardly get over it myself. I was there. I know what happened. It was truth. A little old church that we used to watch through the window. All they had was a flat top guitar. They had an old upright piano behind it. You know, been there, sitting there vacant for a long time. They just didn't have a piano player. Flat top guitar. I still remember Brother Stigall. He, in the wintertime, his nose would run. I can remember as a boy because we used to watch even in the wintertime. He'd have a runny nose. He'd just take his hand like this and put it over his hair and keep on playing the flat top guitar. Didn't hardly miss a stroke. I mean, he couldn't stop blowing his notes. He's the only music they had. So he just played the guitar. One night the Holy Ghost fell. One night the Holy Ghost fell. It fell on one person. I mean, they all fell, but it fell on one person. The lady walked out of the pew.
walked up on that little platform, walked over there, pulled that piano bench back, sat down, and started playing the piano. Never had one lesson. Never been on that piano a day before in her life. She became the piano player.
Wow.
And an anointed piano player. Somebody tell me, where did he go? I'd like to write him a letter and tell him how much I miss him. Can anybody tell me where he went? I miss him so much. I miss those demonstrations that I saw as a boy that were so genuine that I never got over them. And old saints, they would pray, fast, trust God, that made that little church to where I got under conviction. I said, Lord, just let me get home. Just let me get home. Don't kill me before you let me get home. I don't want what everybody else has got. I want what they had. I know that's real. Can anybody tell me where he went? I read in the book of Ezekiel where the Holy Ghost lifted off of the sanctuary and stood over the threshold. Then I read how he left the threshold and went to the east gate and he left Jerusalem. I said, oh God, don't do our church that way. Please don't lift off of our altars. Don't go back to the threshold. Don't be leaving us. Come back to us. How many would say, come back to us? How many really say it and mean it? Come back to us. Come back to us. Come back to us. Abide with us, for the evening is upon us. Abide with us. We can't afford to lose you right now. We just can't afford to go any further away from you than what we are. Come back to us. Anybody take that first step tonight towards revival and say, Lord, I'm coming to renew myself. I'm coming to renew myself. I'm coming to renew myself. I'm not bringing my wife or my husband. I'm coming just for myself. I'm coming to renew myself. I don't want you to get away from me. I don't want you to go any further. I want you to abide with us.